You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Talking to me today is Donald Key, Chief Operating Officer of MPH Bookstore, Sindrian Berhad. Welcome to BFM, Mr. Key.
Thank you.
Let's talk about MPH. It's a name I think everybody knows, even if they're not readers, although they should be readers, and that's my personal view. Let's talk a little bit about MPH. Missionary beginnings, but has grown to what it is today. Tell us a little bit about that, you know, how things have changed for the company.
Well, yes, you're right. Actually, it started off as a missionary came over to Malaysia to set up a printing press. From then, it evolved into publishing of books as well as magazines and eventually distribution. And lastly, it was on the retail side. So a lot of people actually don't know the history, but it dates back to, I think, 1815. And the MPH name came about back in 1906. So right. It's been quite a while. Yeah.
Okay, so the 1906 then means Methodist Publishing House. There was a debate whether it was the M was from the Methodist Publishing House or whether it was from Malaya or whether it was from Malaysia, which happened after independence.
It actually started off as Methodist Publishing House, and then it was changed to Malaya and Malaysia, and then eventually it's just basic MPH. It doesn't stand for anything. Yeah.
Well, it stands for a lot, actually.
Of course, yeah.
All right. Now, let's talk about how have things changed. You know, it used to be MPH, and then you've got the local retailers, if you like. And then with the entry of what some saw as the big boys, the Kinokuniya and the Borders, especially, how did things change for MPH with the entry of these players into the market?
I think it's good for MPH, actually, with the introduction of global players. It actually pushes us to be more competitive and as well as to improve ourselves. For the past 10 years, with the introduction of some of these global players, we have been fortunate enough to have a good team who sat down and think, you know, ahead, and we managed to strategize ourselves and chart our growth and to ensure that we remain competitive as well as relevant in today's market. So since the introduction of these two, we felt that we have improved ourselves tremendously. Of course, you know, you can't just say that, you know, you have improved yourself. It comes from the consumer themselves telling us that, wow, you know, MPH was the first to actually started the, we were the first who started the concept store in Mid Valley back in 2000, where you Malaysians have never seen a 36,000 square foot shop with a cafe, with a place for children to sit down and enjoy themselves, and even events. We have events every week to allow our customers to know authors as well. So we are actually quite proud to be able to do all these things to serve the community that you know, we've been with so long. Yeah.
All right, so that's carrying on with the concept of the enrichment beyond knowledge. It's not just a question of moving books, but it's a whole experience to enrich your life, as it were.
This is why we felt that that tagline fits, because we're not here just to have a shop and put books in the shop. We are here to actually allow our customers to enrich themselves and beyond gaining knowledge.
Well, I don't just ask, how does that fit in a business environment? A lot of people say, you know, I just want people to like buy and go away, because I'm all about a business. But if you enrich it by making it an experience, like you have a little, it's almost like a garden kind of setting, like in the Mid-Valley store. The kids' place is always full, but the adult section where, you know, you've got the little garden sort of concept going, the you can hear water and birds and things, those seats are always full. And I'm not sure whether those people, after reading all those books, will get up and buy them. Great if you're a reader, but maybe not so great if you're thinking about selling books.
Well, I guess, you know, we when we thought of implementing this, we knew that there will be certain people that will just come and enjoy themselves in the shop. But I felt that, we felt that, you know, if they are able to enjoy themselves, but eventually when they read more and they wish to buy, most likely they will buy from the place that they enjoy being at, you know.
Where they had the
good
experience.
Yeah, so I think there is a certain risk that you take, but it is actually for the good, for the future of the company, you know, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about an issue which a lot of people are saying, really, do you want to be in, you know, selling books or any kind of reading material? Because Malaysians, not really known to be readers, or at least that's the impression that people have, and especially the younger generation, they're the internet generation. They want something quick and fast. They don't want to trawl through a book. Is that what MPH is finding? Is that a trend that you're finding, or is that, you know, a myth?
Well, I think there's part true and part not, okay. Because if it's true, you know, we will be out of business, and there will be no more.
Well, no, there are diehard people, readers like myself and Diana out there who go and spend all our money
so
on books.
There are people that are reading, still reading a lot.
Right.
And in fact, you know, there are, of course, new readers coming into the market. And because of a lot of efforts that we have done, as well as the government has done, you know, with the introduction of the 1,000 ringgit, tax relief, you know, and the all the campaigns, you know, as well as you know, encouraging the children, a lot of children to read. For us, of course, we have as well done a lot, you know, with campaigns after campaigns, you know, trying to encourage people to read.
GMAT campaign.
Yes, those are more for, you know, encouraging people to spend.
Well,
but what is more important, like we have clubs like the Children's Club, which we sent out newsletter to these kids telling them why they should read, you know, as well as the interesting things about books. And of course, we also have the Quill magazine, which is the only magazine in Malaysia talking about authors and promoting authors and reading. Aside from that, we have gone to schools. We have actually worked with corporate companies, encouraging employees to read, and et cetera, et cetera. So saying that, I think the market is still there. Yeah, but of course, you know, it is not, you can't compare it with like developed countries like, you know, US or UK, where everyone reads because the culture is there from it. But the culture has been probably a few centuries, you know. But Malaysia is still a new country, so it takes time. But I think in terms of readership, definitely has gone up more towards the urban segment. But there are still a lot to do for the rural areas, whereby, you know, people do not gain access to good reading materials. So we are actually looking to ways to actually reach out to these people as well. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll come to that in a minute. BFM 89.9, I'm talking to Donald Key, the Chief Operating Officer of MPH Bookstores, Sindrian Berhad. So you don't find in this economic downturn that people treat the buying of books as a luxury thing. So that's the first thing they would cut off their list. You know, I used to buy X number of books, or I used to read, but now I really got to look at where I can make savings and cutting down on reading, buying books is one of them.
If these people are still, they can still afford, I think one of the reasons why we always tell people that, you know, you should actually continue to buy books, number one is, you know, you actually equip yourself better and to actually improve yourself during downturn, so that at least when the market comes back or the economy comes back, you're ready to move on. Secondly, is because, you know, to develop your children, you know, you can't stop developing your children when the downturn comes, unless you're really, you know, tight in terms of budget. But lastly, the most important thing is if you are able to capitalize on the tax relief, because if you don't spend on that, it's going to be lost. Right. So you might as well use it, and it's not something that it's not good for your family. It's actually good for your yourself development. Yeah.
But surely you must see a fall in maybe some segments. For instance, I would think, okay, fine, you're right. Maybe parents won't compromise on the education of their children. But those expensive, fancy coffee table books.
Those are definitely affected. You know, and in fact, we have actually we have decided not to, you know, get too much into that at this moment, especially coffee table books. And books that are needed for very high-end study, like, you know, engineering, medical and stuff like that. So we are a bit careful on it, but we still see people coming to the shop to buy self-development books, you know, and especially children's books, which is, I think, to them, it is something like an investment during this time of uncertainty, rather than holding back on that.
Well, it doesn't hurt so much, because generally the children's books are priced fairly reasonably.
Correct.
So, you know, even if you're going and buying, it costing you maybe $15 up to about $30, you won't think twice. But if you're looking at something which is $200-$300, you think, well, do I really need that?
Correct.
Okay, so there's been a cutting down. So is there thinking of maybe maybe not so much of the books, because, say, let's go back to your Mid-Valley, you've got everything ranging from pens to CDs to other other items in there? Is there going to be more of a move to those sort of things? Let's concentrate on some other niche areas rather than the books as a general source of income.
Not really. I think books is still our core business. It's just that books is so wide, you know, the range. So you can actually, you know, look into different types of books to actually offer during the right time and the right environment. In fact, we have seen a trend that the Malay books are being the purchasing of Malay books has gone up very high. I think one of the reasons is, again, is quite reasonable, and the market is wide because we have a huge population of Malay, and I guess the books that has been written in Malaysia is becoming better and better, so they are following of these books. Besides that, of course, you look at the as a business, we are looking into other ways of ensuring that if the retail segment is going to be very soft, we have other ways to actually subsidize this segment of it, which is non-retail, which we have been doing a lot of book fairs, a lot of warehouse clearance, these are good to actually clean up the shop with. In fact, we actually bring new books for the clearance as well to allow the customers to enjoy some savings during these times of uncertainty. And we have been having a lot of programs like what you mentioned earlier, GMART campaign the whole year, whereby we have been giving a lot of special deals. So I guess, all these things that we have done, foreseeing that such, slowdown could come, has actually helped us to maintain our sales. Yeah.
What about a focus on things like, say, Malaysiana, this new category? Some purists don't like it because they're like, what's that? But a lot of stores now carry a section called Malaysiana. Asian titles. Mm-hmm. So if you're competing against, say, Kinokuniya maybe, or even Borders, Asian titles, I think, would be just off the top of my head, an area where MPH could leverage on.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, we are the only bookshop that has got a huge section on Malaysiana books. In fact, we put them right in front of the shop rather than hidden somewhere. Because one of our aim is also to encourage local writers, to bring them up to international level. So you've seen a lot of local writers that actually made it in the international scene. A few of them like Tash Hao as well as Samarasan, So I think, that segment is still quite new to a lot of Malaysians, but we are also looking at ways to actually expose this to the rest of the world through our online bookshop, So it is actually quite a growing segment. It's just that it takes a little bit more time compared to the overseas titles.
The numbers, let's talk about online. Like, are the numbers there to make it worthwhile to go online?
You have to actually prepare yourself for the future. But the trend for the past 3 years has been tremendous growth, double-digit growth. Of course, comparing to retail, it is still quite a small business, but we see that there is a lot of future in this business, especially now Malaysians are more, they accept the way buying online. It's something that is not, it used to be a taboo, like, you're worried that your credit card is going to be forged and all this stuff. But today, you buy an airline ticket, you don't even know whether you get a seat, but you got that confidence.
Yeah. So you think domestically people will go online? It's not you're trying to tap the, the global market, and it's like, I can't find it. It's like what Borders was. You couldn't find a book and say any of the other bookshops, then you would go online and order it from Borders or Amazon. But, if I can go to a bookshop and hold that book in my hand and flip through it, I'd rather do that.
But there are a certain group of customers that may not have time to actually visit the shop. I've got this experience that I've spoke to someone who works in the, I think she works in Maxis. You're in the middle of town and you have so many bookstores, but she just buys online. It's just the type of customers is changing. Your profile, the younger generation, they are more tech savvy. To them, it's like buying online is something that is part and parcel of daily life,
All right. Then why open? You've got plans to open up a couple more outlets or
stores. It's still quite a big market available in Malaysia. And online is just, like I say, it's just touching the birth of it. So we still feel that retail is still the direction. But we will not open as we like. You have to really look at the location and the place, that whether there's any demand from that area. And some of these shops are not so much of new areas, but replacing certain shops, that has outgrown itself. You know, it's too small, so we need a bigger space for it to capture the bigger market.
Okay, yeah. So still expanding in terms of floor space rather than just if you say planning for the future is online,
yeah.
I would have thought that then you'd say, well, I'm not going to worry so much about floor space. I'm just going to, like, you know, I've got so much space inside the space. But, well, that's a strategy which I'm sure you've planned with your team to say that will bring in the numbers.
BFM 89.9, the business station.